Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi, head of identity content at HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, head of HuffPost Personal.
Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong, the show that explores the all-too-human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
Okay, Raj, here's a question that not only have I never asked you this, but I've never asked anyone this.
I'm a little scared.
How good are you at food storage?
Oof, more adulting. Look, I don't think I'm the most educated at it. I do think my body is somewhat of a warrior princess that has luckily protected me from certain things so far. But I think I want to learn a little more about it.
Yeah, I am just a worry wart. Mm-hmm. And I'm always worried that like I didn't get something in the fridge soon enough, or something defrosted the wrong way, or is my ketchup rancid? I don't know. And I don't want to have diarrhea.
I mean, I love that we have one adult in the room at least, always.
I am here for that. But soon we're going to have two, because we've got Kristen Aiken, who is the editorial director of HuffPost Life. She was on for the grocery store shopping episode we did. And she's also been to culinary school. She knows all about this kind of stuff. And she's going to tell us the what's what, not just food safety, but also like, how do we keep our foods tasting the best?
All right. Yes, chef. Let's do it.
Kristen, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start this episode because I read this terrifying article about this kid, a college student in Belgium, and he apparently made some pasta and he left it out. And then 5 days later, he reheated it and he died after eating it.
Oh my God.
So apparently there's this condition or syndrome if you leave out starches specifically, mm-hmm. I think, like rice or pasta. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that and how worried we need to be about doing that.
Okay, so it's called fried rice syndrome, colloquially.
Okay.
But it really applies, like you said, to like pastas and rices. It's not specifically fried rice.
Yep.
But I'll just read you a little bit from the case report. But yeah, it was 2008. This guy was 20. He was in Belgium. He made spaghetti with tomato sauce and never put it in the fridge. He left it out on his counter to sit for 5 days. Ugh. He warmed it in the microwave, which I will get to. That's kind of why it's a problem. And then immediately after eating, he went to his sports activities, but didn't even last 30 minutes because he had so much nausea. He was throwing up, and then later, apparently, a ton of liquidy diarrhea, they called it.
Oh my God.
Went to bed, fell asleep at midnight. And then his parents discovered him dead the next morning at 11 a.m. So
it is horrifying.
It's horrifying. They did find this bacteria in his system that was linked to the pasta and the spaghetti sauce. It's called Bacillus cereum. It's a pretty common bacteria that's found in most foods. And it doesn't make most of us sick most of the time because It's bacteria that starts as a spore that's inactive. But once you heat it, in some cases, so that's the initial cooking of the pasta or the rice, it can become activated. And then when it's activated, it starts to release toxins. And the longer that food is left out at room temperature, 5 days is really a lot, the more the bacteria just multiplies and
it's thriving, yeah.
So it's just a big pot full of bacteria at that point.
Yeah, and he ate it, and within 30 minutes, it really took effect, and it shut down a ton of his organs because there were so many toxins related. The autopsy finding did link it to that bacteria, but they say that a lot of us don't need to worry about anything like that happening. They've never heard of a death specifically this like acute. There may have been some other health issues at hand, but okay, they think sure. This was like primarily responsible.
So it's not happening a lot.
It's not happening a lot, but you can get sick. Usually most people will get sick from something like this, but it'll just be, you know, throwing up and it'll resolve itself in 2 to 3 days.
Because most people who are doing this are leaving it out for a few hours maybe, right?
Yeah. So the rule that you will hear me say a million times over, and anyone who writes about food safety, is there's this temperature danger zone between 40 degrees Fahrenheit and 140 degrees Fahrenheit, where you really shouldn't leave your food in that range for more than 2 hours, because that's when the bacteria starts to multiply more rapidly.
Got it. You want it hot, 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 or cold, cold, cold.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Whew, that's a heavy one to start off.
I know.
It's like something we're doing true crime podcasting.
Yeah. True food crimes. So I want to talk about other common things that we eat and leave out. Sometimes let's talk about pizza a little bit, right? Like sometimes we'll order a pizza. Often it's in a social situation, unless you're me and it's like a whole pizza on a Friday night in my bed. But like you leave the pizza out. People are kind of like, you know, grabbing some whatever. And it's out for a few hours. Is that okay, or should we be putting the pizza in the fridge right away?
Or it's out till the next morning. I mean, I would do that where I just leave it out and then, I love room temperature pizza. I love cold pizza.
Okay, so do I.
But that seems like now this is a bad idea.
Well, the cheese is a bad idea, particularly. Yeah. The tomato sauce also isn't great because bacteria loves to thrive with protein, particularly, which the cheese has, and moisture. And it has a lot of both of those things, so the cheese is making it bad. If it were just the crust, it would probably be safer.
I mean, that's the thing that we should talk about really in this whole episode. We're going to be talking about the difference between some things are just dangerous to do, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And some things are going to make the food not taste as good.
Right.
Like those aren't the same thing.
Not at all. And like, I think we'll talk a little bit about probably expiration dates and best buy dates and things like that. And in most cases these days, you won't really find an expiration date on food that refers to safety. I think maybe because it's a little dangerous and nobody wants to put a stamp on something, you know, because it would be pretty easy to sue if the date were wrong. But it's most about quality now, like the best buy date or like best used by date just refers to quality, like flavor, texture, and things like that.
Right.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the difference between a shelf staple food and one that's not. Meat is a really big one. I feel like there are some canned meats that we see, like tuna and, you know, fish and things like that, that are, what makes that shelf stable, you know, versus something that we cook? Like what, tell me a little bit about that.
So like Dinty Moore beef stew or something like that. I always found weird that, you know, it's okay to eat that just straight from a can that's been who knows how long sitting at room
temperature.
I totally
don't understand it.
Right.
They can preserve it in a number of ways. One is by increasing the acidity of a food will make it more food safe. And then a big one is like the sterilization process where they heat it up and then like properly seal it all. And
right. The canning itself.
The canning itself is really what.
Because that's the thing too. I know like a lot of probably our grandmas would, you know, make jam and jelly and can different fruits and stuff. But also if you don't do that right.
Right.
Then you're just introducing bacteria.
It's a preservation technique only if you do it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which always kind of terrified me.
Yeah.
I was like, this could just be a time bomb.
There are so many stories about like grannies making jars of jam for people and giving them botulism without realizing it.
Right. That is a nightmare.
I know. I'm so afraid of that.
Before we move on to other things, let's go back to the quote unquote fried rice syndrome or any kind of food like that. What do we ideally want to do with our leftovers? How soon do we want to put it in the fridge? Is it going in the fridge? What's the best method?
There are different factors at play. Overall, the goal is to get it cooled down within 2 hours and into the fridge. But if you got this like giant pot of something super hot, let's say like a giant vat of soup that's boiling hot, if you just put that in the refrigerator as is, it's going to take so long to cool down that in the end, not only will it be in that danger zone probably for longer than 2 hours, but it'll also raise the temperature of your fridge, making all of the other foods in it susceptible to spoilage.
That's wild.
I never even thought about that.
In culinary school, they always told us to take a big pot of soup and like separate it into multiple small ones and stir them to cool them down. And so a smart thing to do at home is just separate your food into different containers so that it cools down faster.
So we don't want to put something into the fridge hot. We do want to let it cool down
if
before we put it in.
If it's a small amount, it's okay. Kind of okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally leave it out on the counter
like a vat of gumbo.
A little bit until it's like not scalding hot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about like breads, cakes, muffins, things that people often leave out on the counter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's okay?
Most of those are fine, but not always. There are these great reference charts you can look up online. Like, for example, if a cheesecake is a baked good, but it's got cheese in it, which is a protein and susceptible to moisture. Yeah. So cheesecake never leave out on the counter. Immediately put it in the refrigerator. The other thing to watch out for is fruits. Any like pie with fruit or anything shouldn't really be left out for too long either. Immediately put those in the refrigerator. So just think about like anything with moisture, but like a pound cake can be left out for a few days.
Got it.
And be safe.
It also kind of depends on where you live and what your apartment's like, right? Like sometimes our apartment is like hot and we will put bread in the fridge because we're like afraid. And it has like molded really quickly, like quicker than if we put it somewhere like cool and, you know, they're like store stuff cool and dry. And like New York City apartments are.
You're like, where is that?
Yeah. Yeah. What's cool and dry?
Yeah. Bread is tricky too. I recently started trying to buy bread with fewer preservatives and that just goes moldy so fast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The other stuff. It's
we do that
scary.
Too. And it does get moldy really fast. So it's just like fridge or freezer for us.
Yep.
I recently, there was a sale on Amazon that I learned about through HuffPost at Christmas and I got like 40 storage containers for like $19. Mm-hmm. But they were plastic. And my boyfriend, Benji, was like, oh, we should get glass ones. Like, you don't want to put food in plastic. And like, I know that that's sort of rumbling around in the back of my head. Like, plastic isn't good.
Yeah.
But is that true? Do we want all of our Tupperware or whatever we're using? Should it be glass or metal? Is plastic
glass
okay?
Glass is so heavy and annoying.
It's so heavy and annoying.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I do feel better about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, convenience-wise, you can't microwave that plastic anyway.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I'm lazy and I microwave most of my leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
So glass is better in that regard. So a lot of those glass ones now are hinged with the metal hook and you can't put metal in the microwave. So like, think about that too. But yeah, in terms of BPA, there's still a lot we don't know. And I went into a like popular container store the other day. It's the container store. I was trying not to put them on
the
blast.
Container store, yeah.
And a lot of the plastic containers were not labeled whether they were BPA free or not because they weren't made in the US. So there's still like a lot of mystery around that. And so I personally just avoid it at the moment.
Okay.
But yeah, glass is heavy and like it takes up, it's usually not stackable and it takes up so much space in your
also,
cupboards.
I don't know. Stuff falls on me when I take it out of the, like, glass is not my fave. I tend to, like, warm things up after I put it in a plate or something like that. I
take it out of the storage
of the
container.
I'm also worried about storage.
Oh, so you raise another good point. You really shouldn't microwave leftovers over and over again.
Yeah.
Like a big container of them because every time you reheat it and it comes back, you're increasing that chance, like
of
that
course.
Time period for all of the bacteria to multiply.
Right, because you're heating it up, then it has to cool down again.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying heat individual portions, don't heat like your whole pot of soup again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And there's another thing with the microwave too that's important to know, especially if you buy frozen food and you see the instructions say, microwave it for 2 minutes, stir it and then microwave it for two minutes again. There's a reason, and I often try to bypass it just out of laziness, but the reason is because, especially if it's something with meat or, you know, something that's prone to having bacteria, the microwave heats things from the outside in. So if you don't stir it, the items in the middle are likely not to get heated through to the proper temperature that will be safe.
Yeah. Because there's like heat pockets when you're heating things in the microwave. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Can we eat leftovers straight out of the fridge? I love a cold,
like
lo mein or like a slice of pizza.
Oh my God. Why does it taste better
it's
than
so
noodles?
Good. But if we properly stored it and we got it in there in time, there should be no issue, right?
Right. It should be fine.
Okay.
Reheating things can help kill the bacteria.
Right.
Okay.
But if you had stored it properly the whole time, that should be totally fine.
Okay.
You can have your cold pizza.
So often on this show, I think something and I ask and then they're like, oh no, you're doing that all wrong. And it like breaks my heart. Like I remember from the dentist episode, she's like, you should be flossing after you brush. And I was like,
who would have thought though?
So
I was told the other way around.
Yeah, it's controversial. But I just am afraid that
controversial.
I'm worried you're going to get in here and like just break our hearts left and right about food. But we can still have our cold domain.
But I feel like it's funny with the dentist episode, I'm like, oh shit, I need to change my life immediately. And with this, I'm kind of like, you know.
But really, like, how hard is it to just put pizza in the fridge after, like, before 2 hours?
Actually, the box is very annoying. You have to take it out of it because it's like, the fridges are small.
Well, I'm just going to fight you on
that's
this.
That's true.
I'm going to fight you on food safety
pizza
every
is a bad
step
example.
Of the way.
I shouldn't have listed pizza. Rice?
Yeah.
No, rice out or pasta? I don't know. How hard is it to just move it into the fridge?
No, and that's a good point, too, because rice looks innocuous. It's like little cute grains that don't look like they're going to do anything bad.
Spores. Just think of spores now when you see rice.
Yeah. Perfect.
No, you're right. That is affecting me. Absolutely. Okay, what about the freezer?
Because
I love freezing things. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras coming up. My best friend sent me a king cake. Mm. And, you know, to preserve my girlish figure, I chopped it up and I like ate a little bit and I put the rest like individually in the freezer.
Cute.
And now I'm going to enjoy it for like 3 months.
Whenever I need it.
And I do need king cake sometimes.
Yep.
So how long can I keep stuff in there? Especially I want to know meat. Like how long can I
keep
this stuff?
Well, we once published this article where they basically said that in terms of food safety, if you've, again, stored it properly up until the point when you freeze it, meat or any food you put in the freezer will outlive you.
It's kind of awesome, right?
Yeah.
In
terms of safety, but and of course, like texture or things you will lose out on after certain timelines. Like
is it the thing that no one's talking about where it may like diminish in flavor and stuff like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But mostly texture, also flavor.
Texture. Things,
you know, like when foods are exposed to colder temperatures, it converts sugars to starches and things like that. That's why there are arguments about putting tomatoes in the refrigerator.
I think the scary thing for me about freezers is like the defrosting part.
Mm-hmm.
How should we do it? I don't want to like.
I have no idea.
I don't either. Like some people are like, oh, leave it on the counter. Some people are like, put it in the fridge.
I always leave on the counter.
Can you
and
put
I,
it in the microwave?
I feel in my heart Kristen's going to be like, this is so
you
wrong.
Are doing it wrong. You're definitely doing that one wrong. The thing you really shouldn't do is leave it on the counter ever, especially if it's meat. There are like three ways to do it.
So gentle, though.
One is the microwave, which I hate because defrost settings on microwaves are impossible to figure out.
Yeah.
And you accidentally cook it sometimes and it's the grossest thing ever.
Right.
But it is safe.
Okay.
The second way, which is the way I usually do it, but you have to have a lot of foresight, is to just put it in the refrigerator because it takes usually like overnight.
Right.
So, but you can't be like a last minute person and do it that way.
I do it in the fridge sometimes. Yeah.
The way that I like that's second fastest to the microwave is putting it in a cold water bath. Mm-hmm. The only thing is you have to change the water out every 30 minutes, so you can't just like leave it and forget about it.
That's a lot of work.
It is kind of. And if your packaging isn't like super vacuum sealed, like if you have a package of salmon
or
something,
it can get in.
It gets in there and then it gets all mushy.
But it happens kind of fast though when you put something in water. I'm fine.
It's way faster putting it in cold water, and it should not be like lukewarm or warm. It has to be cold water than just setting it out on the countertop.
Why do we not want to be doing it on our countertop?
It takes too long and it's going to be out for more than that 2 hour time period.
So as it's coming up to temp, then it's getting that range where all of the bacteria can start doing their thing, the danger zone.
Okay. I just have to ask, and this is like more of like an educated opinion question.
Okay.
How much can our bodies fight these things? Because I'm doing a lot of the shit that Kristen's like, don't do this. And I don't know, a lot of the times I'm just like skipping about.
When we talked to the doctors, our reporters talked to the doctors about the fried rice syndrome story, they said, you know, for most people, you'll have nausea or maybe you'll throw up or there's a lot of diarrhea talk with this subject.
Sure.
Most people, this symptoms will go away after a day or two. If they don't,
you
should go to
the
hospital.
The food. Okay.
But our bodies are pretty good at it. But we really just are trying to avoid people having. I don't want to have all those things happen to me.
No, don't want to.
I don't want to be sick.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So Raj, tell me, how is your social battery right now?
You know, today it's pretty high and vibrant, but it varies day to day.
That makes total sense because it's super easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Truly. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. For me, therapy has been illuminating. Just to be able to process day-to-day anxieties has helped me so much. I kind of wish that for everyone.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/doingitwrong today and get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/doingitwrong.
Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong?
I want to move into like a more fun topic.
Let's do it.
It's just like, how should we, less about the food safety part where we're going to kill someone or we'll, you know, be shitting our brains out. And more just like, you know, good ways that we're not wasting food or like food is ripening in the right way. So like, I just thought we could go through a whole bunch of stuff and be like, what's the best way to store this?
Yeah, Noah's done a bunch of good research on this. Yeah. Some of these things I have never even heard of.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just start with maybe some produce? Bananas.
Yeah, I did not know this.
Okay.
But you said that the best way is to hang.
To hang them. I didn't know that either.
I didn't either.
That's why you see those crazy, like, literally banana hangers that you can get from Amazon for like $12.
I was going to say, those look like for rich people, but if they're $12.
One of those useless one-off cooking tools, but it actually does make sense scientifically, right?
Right. So that's because bananas emit ethylene, which is how they ripen. And so you want to limit how much of the ethylene is reaching the banana. And so if you hang them, that means there's like more fresh air circulating around them. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a bowl, it's just like they're sitting in that ethylene and they're just getting ripe.
Okay, that makes sense. And I love bananas. I want to treat them right.
I love bananas.
Yeah. Bananas are going extinct, they say.
Kristen.
I know. I'm sorry. Cavendish bananas are the kind that we mostly eat. And they're in trouble. So we need to save the bananas.
We do.
I want to save the bananas.
And until we do, we should be like cherishing everyone we have and getting it perfectly right.
I'm going to start like freezing bananas now. It's going to be like, I'm going to have like a freezer full of bananas.
You can freeze bananas, but here's what. Don't freeze them in the peel because the peel will
turn
black.
No, never in the peel.
Always chop it first. I do that all the time.
Put them in my
smoothies. It's a good trick.
All right.
Bananas are also like one of the major ethylene producing fruits. Some produce more than others. So that is why it's a good trick too if you want to, like if you have a pear that's not ripe enough, put a banana in like a paper bag with it, close it up, and the ethylene in the banana causes the pear to start ripening. So,
And also that's why I've heard too, if your bananas aren't ripe, just put your bananas in a bag.
Yeah.
And same with avocados, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just traps the ethylene and then it helps it ripen quicker.
That's genius.
Which is very smart.
It is.
That's a good one.
I have one that I saw. There's TikTok conversation about it. It's garlic.
Okay. Oh.
Do you guys have any feelings about leaving garlic out versus putting it in the fridge? I have been just like watching these completely unqualified people on TikTok be like, you need to leave your garlic out. Don't ever put it in the fridge.
I do not put it in the fridge.
I've never put it in the fridge because I treat it like potatoes and onions, which you just put in like a cool, dark pantry-like place.
Okay.
Why are they saying you shouldn't put it in the fridge? What will happen?
I think they said something about how it gets soft and dries out. You know, it becomes like leathery and gross.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And then if it gets soft and dries out, it will also start to sprout.
Which?
And then we recently published an article about potatoes. So have you ever seen the little sprouts on potatoes?
Yes. What the hell is that?
Yeah. And so can we still eat those?
It's a toxin called solanin.
Of course it is.
And when it's a sprout, there's usually so little of the solanin that it's not unsafe. You can pick the sprout off and eat the potato. But have you ever seen your potato turn green?
Yes, I have.
Then it's got so much solanin that it's not safe to eat anymore and you should toss it.
No more green potatoes.
Okay, I have not eaten a green potato, but in my head, it was like Benjamin Buttoning and getting younger and like turning green. I just couldn't make sense of it.
How could this
like,
be bad for me?
It tastes bitter too when it gets green, so you don't want it. And then all of the nutrients in it are also like diminished.
The cool thing I'm hearing over and over again is your food wants to tell you when it's bad. It's like it's not trying to trick you.
No secrets.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It stinks. You know, it turns weird colors.
It's trying to tell you
something. Pay attention. Plastic bags. Are they ever, should you ever store anything in plastic bags or are they generally the enemy?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's up to you. I'm not going to say you shouldn't ever, but it's not helping anything.
Right.
It's trapping all of this moisture in there.
Okay.
And they're also bad for the planet, most of them. I know they have some of the new ones in grocery stores, but I don't keep them in there because they're always moist from that sound. You know, the mister at the produce section?
Yeah.
With the thunder sound, if you're lucky.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you just put it, chuck it in the fridge when you get home, it's got all that moisture on there.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's just lingering.
Do you guys cut your herbs and put them in like a little mason jar, like some kind of adorable, well-adjusted human?
I don't.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
I don't, they're all wilty if they don't.
I mean, know.
Especially depending on how it looks when you got it, if it's already a little questionable, when I definitely do it.
Okay.
If it's like parsley, maybe not.
Okay. Right. Parsley's hearty.
Parsley's cheap and hearty.
Yeah.
She hangs in there.
I just thought of, before we move on to move away from the produce department, something that I sort of keep in mind when I'm wondering, where does this thing go in the fridge or on the counter? Sometimes I look at like, where do they store it in the grocery store too?
Yeah.
And I know that also part of that is like them trying to stop it from ripening too soon or things like that. But like, you know, I just think you can take some of your cues from where you find something in the grocery store.
Yes.
Also, food safety-wise for meat, you're always supposed to put meat at the bottom of your refrigerator so that if any of the juices leak out, they don't leak down onto your other food.
I have a friend really that got smart. E. coli that way. That's E. coli, right? She said that like it wasn't proven, but her roommate had put like some kind of meat on top of her container of pizza and she ate the pizza. And she's like, her parent is a physician, was like, this is what you have, and like immediately had to get treated for it. It was so gross.
They also advise not putting dairy or anything that needs to be kept super cold in the door of your refrigerator because quite often the door leaks energy and isn't as cold as it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So then it's above that 40 degree mark, which your fridge should always be, they say 40 or below, but real nervous people like me suggest less than 40 because to leave some room for error.
Okay, let's talk about dairy.
Completely.
Yeah, because I think whenever I hear people tell ridiculous stories about them shitting their brains out from food poisoning, whatever it may be, and it 80% of the time involves dairy. Like, they were at a festival and, like, something was out too long. Like, it's always sour cream, like milk, something that's, you know, sometimes people keep milk and cream out for coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Like the milk is out, just out all day
forever.
For hours.
Right.
That's gross.
Okay, tell me how we should be storing all dairy.
Well, cheese is hard because some cheeses are aged. And, you know, that means they've already been sitting out forever and they're fine. The thing about cheese for me is mold.
Right.
I use cheese paper for that and that helps.
What's cheese paper?
Cheese paper is like, it's better than plastic wrap or wax paper because it's coated with this special cellulose-based coating that keeps, like, cheese requires a little bit of moisture, but it can't have too much, obviously,
Got
or
it.
It'll get moldy, and it's, like, just the right amount of coating to get the moisture just right.
Okay.
So my cheese used to mold all the time. I would put it in Ziploc bags, and it would just get moldy in, like, 2 weeks, and now it lasts months.
Okay. I asked my cheese gal at Whole Foods, and she said also, if you're not going to do, she told me about that, but she said aluminum foil. Like, she said the thing about how it needs to have a tiny bit of moisture, but not too much. And she's like, do the Ziploc bag if you want, but put it in aluminum foil first.
Oh, that's
and
good
I was
to
like,
know.
Interesting. And it worked.
Can we just cut the mold off the cheese and still eat the cheese?
Such
or if
a good
there's
question.
Mold, do we want to get rid of the cheese?
I cut it off and eat it. I don't,
okay.
Unless it's a super spongy cheese where it could like penetrate through, like something
soft
super
one.
Soft. Yeah.
Right.
People say it about, and I've like, you know, edited articles about this as well with bread. If there's mold on it, people are like, throw it out because you can't really
but
see how far it's gone.
Yeah.
Yes. And with cheese, it's like not as
you can just
dangerous.
Do it.
Yeah.
The big thing people talk about, I feel like everyone has a strong opinion on this is butter, whether you leave it out at room temperature or not.
Thoughts?
What do you guys do?
You know, whatever I'm doing is just fuck shit at this point. No, I keep it back in the fridge. I don't leave butter out. Yeah.
I don't really use butter. So it's not really a thing.
I use butter
but
on everything.
Growing up and in my mom's house, there is a butter dish.
Yeah.
There's butter in the fridge and that's for like, you know, baking or whatever. But there is just a butter dish to put on bread on the counter.
Raj, you are being more careful than you need to.
Oh my God.
You're not doing it wrong, really, but you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can leave it out, they say, for about a week at room temperature.
Whoa. It's safe. Did not know that.
Yeah. It's got so much fat in it. That's why. The fat's a preservative.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Wow. That's really cool.
And if it's salted butter, which most of us do use for that, it's another preservative.
Okay.
Let's talk about condiments. Condiments are maybe my favorite thing in the entire world.
I love a sauce.
I love a sauce. I love a chutney. I love an aioli. One thing I think is controversial is you go to a restaurant and you see ketchup on the table. Yeah. But I would never leave ketchup in my cupboard. You know what I mean? Once I've opened it. So why do restaurants leave ketchup on the table, and is that okay?
Also, I have to add to that, people are very divisive about hot sauce. I put my hot sauce in the fridge.
Right.
My partner likes to keep it out.
And, so, and you'll see it on tables in restaurants too. So I'm wondering, like, what's up with that?
There was this huge debate over this a few years ago, and Heinz had to, like, tweet out and explain themselves. But basically, in a restaurant, it's different than at home because the turnover is so fast. They'll go through a bottle in a day, maybe, with so many people squirting onto their food. But, like, Heinz, for example, is shelf stable. You should be able to keep it not refrigerated for a long time. However, they say certain, like the temperature of your room or certain storage issue conditions, because of that, they recommend that you refrigerate it after you open it. But it really is meant to be shelf stable. Not all brands are going to be the same. There are all these new fancy ketchup brands that are like organic. Those probably will not be as shelf stable.
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of read the bottle.
What about hot sauce?
Hot sauces, are pretty shelf stable because they have a lot of acidity in them, but they still recommend they will be good for up to 6 months or so, but experts still recommend refrigerating them because you don't lose anything in the quality by refrigerating them.
Okay.
When in doubt, refrigerate. That's where my head is at. Would you agree?
And you'll
with
lose
that?
A lot of flavor. Yeah, you'll lose a lot of flavors and things if they deteriorate, if they're not kept in like a cool, dark place. A lot of condiments will kind of like lose their punch. Okay.
Is mayo as problematic as people say it is? And I mean that from a food safety point of view. I love mayo.
Is a conservative.
I could eat mayo with like a spoon.
I love mayo.
Maybe not with a spoon, but I really love it.
No, I know what you mean. Like, but slather that shit on.
You always hear like, don't bring a potato salad with mayonnaise to a picnic because it's going to sit
in the
sun.
That's the thing about like sitting out. You hear all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. So the issue is usually they say potato salads or egg salads or things that are kept like at picnics they're usually referencing, like outside in a warm temperature. And the food experts we've spoken to before for articles say it's not actually the mayo itself. Mayo has a lot of acidity and preservatives built into it that it should be refrigerated, but it's generally pretty shelf stable product. It's not likely to transfer a lot of bacteria, but it's the combination of the mayo with things like potatoes or chicken or eggs that are really low acid foods. So it brings down the acidity level of the mayo. And then the other issue is just our behavior with foods like that. We tend to let them sit out like on a blanket in the sun for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. So that's why they warn against those kind of mayo-based salads. But it's not the mayo's fault, really.
Oh, poor mayo's a scapegoat.
I hate mayo, so I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm a mayo hater.
So good.
Kristen, you're going to have to leave. I'm sorry. I know.
All right, what about our spices? Because I'm very like sentimental about my spices sometimes. Like, you know, my mom will like roast them and grind them for me and they're like beautiful, you know, Indian spices and stuff. And I don't cook Indian food all the time. So sometimes I'll have those spices for more than a year. And I'm like, wait, should I be? And my mom's always like, no, dump and refresh. You have to. And I think, is that more about food safety or about like losing the flavor or both?
It's both, but mostly it's about losing the flavor and the quality. Your mom is totally right. 6 months is the guideline.
Yeah.
You'll lose the quality and all of the, you know, there are a lot of like oils and things inside spices and you'll lose a lot of them. They just don't become as pungent after a while. But there is a food safety element. Have you ever, especially in paprika or any like pepper-based dried spices, have you ever heard about or yourself experienced like some like crawling, like little worms crawling?
No,
but I have heard of this, yes.
We had an article about it a while ago based on my own personal experience where I had to find out what was happening. Like a lot of times in paprika, you'll open it and it looks like it's moving.
Oh.
And it is because there are these little beetles called cigarette beetles that love to kind of in the process of the bottling, they find their way into, they love peppers because they love those, the nutrients that are in peppers, and their larvae are in there. And the, sometimes you'll open, especially if you haven't used it for a while, yeah. you'll open a thing of paprika and it'll look like little worms. It's the larvae.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the grossest thing ever. But mm-hmm. I also, it's kind of cute. Like, the, I, no. I'm having a moment. I don't know.
Absolutely
maybe
not.
It's just the way you're describing it. I mean, it's horrible. But also, you're like, there are babies in there.
No. You're
no, Raj.
Unique.
No, absolutely not.
It's also because I haven't experienced it. If I did, I may just completely pass out.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's gross.
But it is hard with spices, too, because like you said, like if you aren't cooking that often, mm-hmm. I just bought sumac at Christmas for a salad I made.
Yeah.
I'm never going to use sumac again.
Sumac's so special, like, but it doesn't, you know, often. It's not an
everyday. I wish they would make them in smaller.
Yes.
You know, the McCormick makes some
the
of times,
ones.
That, but only in the really popular ones. And that's the opposite of what we need. The popular yeah. ones, they need
we need bigger. Garlic powder like every day. Yeah.
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 But I heard someone on, maybe it was TikTok, they were just saying, so you're saying every 6 months. This person was saying at least once a year,
yeah.
which is more than probably we do it anyway.
I don't do it that often, even
right.
though I know I'm yeah. supposed to.
But she was like, she just spends her New Year's going through her spice rack and dumping anything she hasn't, you know, it's over yeah. a year. I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend my New Year's that way. But
I'm
she's
usually
like,
hungover anyway, so I'm
well, maybe
it's
you'll
like an at-home activity. Yeah.
I will, admit I'm bad. I cook all the time. And I went through my spices the other day and some were labeled from 2007. I did throw them out
right.
now, but it took it's me
like
that
peak
long.
Mom behavior, though. Like, you know, like sometimes go home to your parents' house.
I would
house
bet
and
most
like
people
stuff.
Listening have some old ass spices in their cupboard.
And most of the time it's safe, but they're just not like maybe your food isn't tasting as good as it could right. if you would buy some
totally.
New spices. But that's the thing too. It's expensive. Spices are too expensive.
What are some foods you can think of that last for a really, really long time?
Yes.
Because the only one I know is honey. I feel like no one I've talked about, there's like prehistoric samples of honey that are like still good. Like, what is honey the only one?
Yeah, there's like honey in like the Pharaoh's tombs, yeah. and like people are still putting it in their like coffee. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, what?
I can't get honey to last without crystallizing.
Mm.
Maybe I'm storing it wrong.
But even then, even if it crystallizes, it's still okay to use.
Yeah,
though.
It's safe.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, safe. Salt is the only other thing I can really think of. I mean, it'll clump up.
Okay.
But salt is used to keep other foods safe.
I mean, that's great. That's good to know.
What about alcohol? Mm-hmm. I always wonder about this. I literally have a bottle of alcohol from 2008 in my freezer. It's vodka that I got when I worked at Out Magazine at some party. It's like cucumber vodka, and I just have never opened it.
Are you being sentimental about it? Or
I'm just like, it's a full bottle of vodka. Why should I get rid of it?
Yeah.
But like, why don't I just drink it? But I move, and I bring it with me, and it's still
no, it's definitely, there's something sentimental happening here.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's still good.
The guideline is, if it's 80 proof yeah. or over, yeah. then it doesn't go bad.
Vodka is
okay.
80 proof.
So you're probably okay.
It is tricky though. And yeah, unopened wine, they say, you know, wine is, it's not very intuitive because, you know, we value old wine.
Right.
The funk, yeah.
But they say, so like anything up for 20 years is okay, but anything over 20 years could be questionable depending on where it's been stored.
I do get that it has to be about storage because like whiskey
yeah.
too, people love like a
right,
good
old whiskey.
Whiskey.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Do you have any final tips for us in terms of food storage or keeping things fresh or not dying after we've eaten some French onion dip?
I will just preach forever about the danger zone.
Yeah.
The 2 hours, it's so easy to remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just don't keep anything out at room temperature for more than 2 hours.
Sure. And also another like big shout out to our bodies for being so wonderful, intuitive. Like the effects, sometimes you will puke immediately after eating something that
right.
you left mm-hmm. out too long, whatever. And your body's like, nope, gonna save you.
Get that out of here.
Get it out and you good. Like, yeah. I love that for us.
Me too.
Have you had a lot of experiences with food poisoning?
Not a lot, thank goodness. But I am one of those people who, when I have eaten something that was bad or left out too long, my body expels it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm like, all right, who wants to go to the gym?
Right.
Like, yeah, it's, so I really, and it's been rare, but I have noticed now that we're talking about, my body's like, nope, didn't like it. And it's out. And sometimes I didn't leave something out, but like, you know that during food prep, things happen. Like, you know, so, but I have, my girlfriends and I like to talk about poop and puke. So I know everyone's food poisoning stories.
Right.
My partner too, he has really funny ones, which I haven't asked permission, so I won't say any of them. But like, he has graphically detailed, hilarious food poisoning stories.
I definitely had a burrito in 1996 and like, it did not treat me well. And I couldn't eat a burrito for
yeah, you know,
10
the,
years.
The food trauma,
you remember
for
a year.
Yeah. It was real. But
condolences.
Burritos are back in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine were all meat related when other people were preparing it, like at an outdoor barbecue, and when I was at a graduation party that was also outdoors in the summer. So like I realized now that I know all of this that it was probably just left out too long.
But that also informs your fear of, you know, accidentally making someone sick because someone did that to you.
And never trusting anyone.
Yeah.
This is the thing, though. Anytime you leave your house, you're taking your life into your own hands. I mean, you go to a restaurant and maybe someone didn't wash their hands before they prepped your burger. Like, you just don't know. And so you just have to do the best you can.
You do.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, and control the things you can control. If you can put something away in your fridge and within 2 hours, do it, you know. But I guess we can't worry too much.
And it's, again, that like annoying rule that we come to at the end of every podcast. We're like, try to keep your body strong.
Yeah.
You know, and then it can fight stuff better, you know.
No, it's true.
It is deep, though. Just try to control what you can and don't worry about the rest.
Yeah.
Kristen, thank you for being here. This was so illuminating.
We love it.
And we talked about poop almost as much as we did in the poop episode.
I mean, I'll never be able to outdo the poop episode. I wish I could, but I tried.
This is like a worthy contender, I have to say.
It's time for Better in 5. These are your top 5 takeaways from this episode.
All right, number one, rice and pasta are our friends, but if we leave them out on the counter, they can quickly turn dangerous.
Number two, when it comes to storing foods, moisture is not our friend. Avoid it whenever you can.
God, we're learning who our friends are in this episode. Number three, you don't want to defrost anything on the counter. This is for me who leaves things out for hours. Do it in the microwave, the fridge, or try the cold water bath method instead.
Number four, we're going to bet that your spice rack probably needs to be updated. After about 6 months, spices lose their flavor. So if it's been longer than that, it's time for an upgrade.
And number five, if you don't take anything else from this episode, just remember Kristen's 2-hour rule. Get everything into the fridge or freezer in 2 hours or less. Okay, so Noah, have you been doing food storage wrong?
I think I have. There's so many rules and there's so many things that you can do better. But I love that we were talking about how, like, aside from the really specific safety stuff, food wants to tell you who it is and it wants to tell you how it's feeling.
Yeah.
And so if you follow your nose and you follow the food and you have a look and you have a sniff, maybe have a little taste, if it's not happy, then send it home.
It sounds like the perfect partner. Just like tells you who it is.
Yeah.
Get a little sniff, you know?
I totally agree. Yeah, yeah.
I totally agree. And I do think I'm going to try and remember a lot of Kristen's more hard rules, though, because we're busy and, you know, things get left out. And I'm proud of my body for fighting certain things. But, you know, I also want to pay it back and take care of it. So I think I'm going to get better for it.
Yeah, you are. Well, until next time, as long as there are things to get wrong, we're going to be right here to help you do them better.
Love you guys.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.